was not in hospitality. It was the gross sexual immorality of the culture, and that will always bring the judgment of God upon a culture. And that leads me to the second passage. And again, you guys have been very patient. I appreciate your bearing with me. I do want to cover this today, though, because this is also important. First passage of the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah. Second passage in the Old Testament is the moral code in Leviticus. Doesn't that sound exciting? It is, trust me. Leviticus 18:22 says basically this. This is pretty straightforward. 18:22. Let's read it together. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Speaking to men, and by implication, you know, vice versa for women. Now, that sounds pretty straightforward. How many people believe that's pretty straightforward? Okay. Amen. Men don't sleep with men. However, in modern gay theology, it's not as straightforward as it seems, and they would tell you, no, it doesn't really apply to us. Here's what they say. They say basically that these are just priestly regulations, okay? These are just for the priests back in the Old Testament. The Levitical priests, they were Levites. They were from the tribe of Levi. This is the book of Leviticus. And so it's all about ritual purity. It's all about that these guys, if they did this kind of thing, they would be ceremonially defiled, and so they wouldn't be able to offer sacrifices because they would be unclean. Okay, so they're saying that doesn't apply to us. We're not in the Old Testament. We're not under the law. We're not priests. We're not offering animal sacrifices. We don't have to worry about being ritually defiled, and so this doesn't apply to us. And they say that this has no more moral strength to it than a prohibition that says you shouldn't eat pork or you shouldn't sew wool and linen together or things like that. It's all about ceremonial defilement. And since we're not under the Old Testament law, it doesn't apply to us, and you Christian guys are just mad at nothing and you need to chill out and get a life. Okay, that's what they say, essentially. All right, so first of all, let's take a look at this word abomination. We said we were going to talk about that, not abomination, abomination. And they say, well, there's all kinds of stuff in the Old Testament that are abominations. Eating pork was an abomination. So, you know, if you're upset about the gays, then you should just get a life because everybody eats pork nowadays anyway. Well, there's a problem with that. And that is that there are two Hebrew words that are translated in the English abomination. The first one is shakats. And it means, basically, ritual impurity. If you're involved with these shakats, man, no, you shouldn't all be going there sacrificing animals because you are ritually unclean, or if you're doing these kinds of activities. And 11 times it's mentioned, the 11 times that it's mentioned in the Old Testament, it all has to do with prohibited foods, okay? On the other hand, there is another Hebrew word, tova. That's that stuff that gets between your... No, I'm kidding. But you'll remember it now. You'll remember it now, okay? Somebody says, what's this abomination stuff? Well, it's that tova. It's disgusting. It basically generally means morally degrading. It's used 117 times in the Old Testament, and only one time does it ever refer to food. All the other times... Well, there's three other times it was kind of a general kind of principle. 113 times it is used specifically to describe gross moral sin, wickedness. Okay? So let's get it straight. If we're not talking about something that just makes you ritually impure. We're talking about stuff that brings the judgment of God. And when it uses the word tova to talk about an abomination, it's talking about serious issues. So, let's take a look at that. Tova. It means gross immorality, and if you look at all the different uses, this is the kind of stuff associated with it. Idol worship, serving other gods, and human sacrifice, especially burning babies they would make these idols out of brass. They would have a place where they would have a fire lit, and they would take their babies and burn them in the fire and basically burn them to death as a sacrifice to the god Molech. And things like that. Human sacrifice, witchcraft, and sorcery. having false scales, in other words, ripping people off by making your scale seem as though it weighed different than it really did and charging them extra. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips. Proverbs 15, the ways of the wicked. Proverbs 16, the proud in heart, sinning with an arrogant attitude. These are the things that God says is an abomination before Him. Now, in that passage about men sleeping with men, in Leviticus 18, the word to you that indicates homosexuality there is the word, guess what? Tova, exactly. Not shekats. It's not talking about cats. Tova. He says this is serious sin. It's not just ritual purity. In fact, in that paragraph, in Leviticus 18:22, that one statement is sandwiched in the context by these other things. Adultery, child sacrifice, bestiality. They're all a part of that same passage. So if Moses is talking there about ritual purity, is he basically saying, well, you know, if you commit adultery or child sacrifice or have sex with an animal that you need to wash up before you offer your sacrifice in the temple? I don't think so. He's not talking about, I just burned my child in the altar to this pagan god, but I need to wash up and get clean before I now worship Jehovah in the temple. I don't think so. He's talking about serious sin in context. In fact, that whole chapter 18 of Leviticus is a list of sexual sins that includes incest, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, and it says that Israel was not supposed to do those things because the Gentiles, the pagans, did that, those who were not Israel, and that is the reason God destroyed them and cast them out of the land and sent Israel in there. That's the whole reason Israel was going in to inhabit that land, not only to give it to Israel, but because God was judging these other nations, these other Gentile nations. So he says, don't do that because that's the way the non-Jews behave. So when they say, well, that was just for the Jews back in the day, no, that whole chapter 18 said the reason God doesn't want you doing that is because that's how the pagans live, who I am in the process of wiping out. So it's not just Israel, it's the Gentiles also, it's us also. In fact, it says because of these things, and this will blow your mind, it says because of these practices that these Canaanites were doing, that the land itself is actually spiritually defiled before God. The land is defiled. Leviticus 18, 24 and 25 says this, do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these things the nations are defiled, which I'm casting out before you. For the land is what? Defiled. Therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. And he says, don't do these things down in verse 28. Why? Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. He says, because the cry from the ground is great, for the sin that takes place, the spiritual defilement is great, I must act in judgment. And if you do these things, it will come upon you as well. Because there is a spiritual dynamic that takes place that causes the wrath of God to abide over that place where this is the practice of life. This is serious stuff. It's more than just a matter of keeping rules. There is a spiritual dynamic that takes place. Do you know that there are two areas, particularly in Scripture, where the Bible says that these practices defile the land? One is what we just said, gross sexual immorality. Do you know what the other one might happen to be? Innocent blood. The shedding of innocent blood defiles the land and causes an outcry for judgment from God. Numbers 35:33 says this, so you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood, everybody say blood. Blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. That passage back in Genesis that says, by whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Psalm 106:38, and they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Sexual immorality and innocent blood. Now, let me ask you this in closing. What two major issues are Christians battling about today in the public arena? Abortion and homosexuality. Sexual immorality and innocent blood. Those two very things that are so visible today that so many people are raising a cry about are the two very things that cause the land to be defiled. This is not simply political agenda. This is life and death. If our nation, God judges the nations. Yes, He judges individuals, but He also judges the nations. And if our nation continues in the steps that we are walking in with our gross sexual immorality and our wanton shedding of innocent blood, our land will become so defiled that God will have no choice but to judge us severely. It is imperative that you and I understand these issues and stand on what God's Word reveals to be the truth. Because we can fool ourselves all day long and tell ourselves that it doesn't matter. No, I don't believe that. I like this part, but I don't like that part. But there comes a day when God says, your season of repentance is over and judgment is here. And nothing will stop that at that point. So we're given a choice today. We can close our eyes and bury our head in the sand and pretend it's not that it doesn't matter, or we can stand for the truth and speak with compassion and winsomeness and gentleness, but firmly declare the truth to be what it is. Otherwise, there'll come a day when we no longer are able to speak at all. How many people consider this an important issue? This is hugely important. This is not, oh, I just don't like what you're doing. I'm going to try to impose my will on you. If I love you, I'm going to speak the truth in love. And I'm going to do what I can to make sure that you don't get taken away in destruction along with everyone around us. That's what love does. Love confronts. Love speaks the truth. Yeah, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. But it also speaks the truth. Amen? Next week, we're going to talk about the New Testament. We're going to go in there. And we're going to see. You know, one of the biggest statements you hear is, Jesus never said anything about this, so how can it be wrong? Actually, He said very much about this. And we're going to take a look at exactly what He said and what some of the apostles also said. So, thank you guys for being patient. I would be more than delighted to talk with you also, answer any questions you have, and any questions that anybody else has, any comments that you would like to take some time to go over. I would be delighted to take the time and take those things apart. Amen.